football on off the ball.
Toby, I'm just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. We're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Kira Trant joins us now to preview the All-Ireland Women's Football Final this weekend between Dublin and Meath. 4:15 throw-in on Sunday. Kira, good morning.
Morning, lads.
Is it too simple to say that this is a shoe-in Dublin victory?
Absolutely. No, I can't call it.
Come on, Kira.
They've done well against the
I'm not going to be impartial. I'll be wearing my Dublin jersey there on the day, and you know, head to toe blue and all. But you know, I think just Meath's performance against Kerry in the semi final, you know, it's I completely ruled them out, and now I think you just can't write them off. I don't think Kerry played. I don't think they really showed up on the day. I think they'd one plan, and that was route one into Sheaffer O'Shea, and Meath knew that. They couldn't do anything else. They had no plan B, whereas Meath, and indeed Dublin, they can go direct, they can go long, but they can also run it through the hand. So, geez, I've gotten all the All-Ireland final predictions wrong, so I'm not going to try attempt to call this one.
Well, you had called Kerry's inconsistency ahead of the semi-finals when we had John, in fairness. But I suppose, look, the reason I started with that, you know, admittedly slightly tongue-in-cheek wording of the question about Dublin being heavy favourites here is, you know, the Leinster final this year, 213 to 12 points. So they have their number, but of course, you know, to give a hurling example, Cork had Tipperary's number in Munster and look what happened. So things can change.
Yeah, and I think Meath are definitely a different team now than they were even a month and a half ago. They've seemed to click. Dublin have gotten the upper hand of them in Leinster. Past 2 years have been very convincing defeats. So I wouldn't be reading too much into Meath's form at all this year, or the results in their last couple of meetings.
What are the key matchups here for you?
Obviously from a Dublin point of view, they'll have to negate the likes of Vicky Wall, Marion Farrelly, Niamh Glogley, Emma Duggan, and Aveen Cleary, I suppose, to an extent as well. But from a Meath point of view, you know, obviously Hannah Tyrrell, it's very hard to stop her. You know, she mightn't get on much ball, but she kind of, just the way she sits in the pocket, one possession, you know, within 3 or 4 seconds, the ball could be over the bar. So she's very hard to mark. But I think Meath have what it takes to kind of stop Dublin's half back line attacking. And I think if they can stop Dublin's half back line attacking, it would make it much easier up front. Like Carla Rowe's going to do work all over the field, so they just need someone with a big engine to stick with her. Niamh Hedderton is a big ball winner, but I reckon she'll play full forward. But Mary Kate Riley is she's slight, she's small, but she somehow manages to just get the hand in to make every ball a scrappy ball. Dublin have lost Cleve O'Connor to hamstring injury in the game against Galway, so that'll be a huge loss. But I think Dublin they don't rely on any kind of one player as much as, or one or two players as much as Meath do. Mm. So I think for Meath to win, they kind of have to be strong all over the pitch. They have to win each matchup, each battle.
Like even in that, you know, comprehensive Leinster final defeat, was there enough in that match for Meath to tangibly work on ahead of this final to give them hope that actually Dublin do have flaws and they are vulnerable if you attack them in the correct way? You mentioned stopping the Dublin half back line. Do Meath also have to proactively win this game at the same time as doing that?
Yeah, and I think they will. I don't think they'd be sitting back and hoping to stay in the game and then, you know, when it comes down to the last 10, 15 minutes, go at it. They'll go at it from the very start. And the way they've kind of gotten on top of teams this year has been counter-attacking football, especially in the second half. There's been maybe 3 or 4 plays in each match, championship match they've played, that they've just caught the opposition on the counter-attack and then suddenly they settle into control of the game. So Dublin have to make sure that doesn't really happen, but I've no doubt that Meath are going to go at it from the start. They're going to be as direct as possible and run straight at Dublin. I think they're going to try their best to draw a couple of frees and kind of hope to just rack up points, keep the scoreboard ticking kind of thing in that sense. But go direct, go straight at Dublin and hope for the best.
There's only the odds, Dublin are 13-8 on and the spread is a single point. So actually the bookmakers are finding this much harder to call than maybe they would have if this was played the week after the Leinster final. How sickening is it to be faced against the same opponent again when you know you've already beaten them a load? It's just, oh, you guys again. Like, there's an element of having to get back up for it. And I know it's not on a final, but actually everybody they meet this week will be like, oh, this is handy.
Yeah, and everyone, well, I don't think they'll be saying this is handy. I think it will be, oh, meet again. And people are saying that to me and I'm not on the panel anymore. But I think an All-Ireland final is different. If it was the group stages or a quarterfinal or something like that, you would be kind of thinking, you know, meet again. We've heard this pre-match presentation before. We know all this information. It's just repetition. But I think with a final, it's different. And that certainly would be the case. And Dublin won't be as naive to think that they're facing the same Meath team as they played in that Leinster semi-final. That Leinster final. So I don't think that's going to be as much of a factor on Sunday as it would have been earlier in the year.
Because they played the group stages, they played the league and they played in Leinster. It's like, sick of the sight of you.
Yeah, and like, there was years ago where we wouldn't even play Meath in a challenge match because where they were and the standard they were at. And now it's you know, the amount of championship games you play against Meath. It's good for Leinster and it's good that they're all kind of, I know, the scoreline in Leinster didn't really show up, but competitive games. And look, Meath beat Dublin in the All-Ireland Final in 21. So there's something on the line there as well for the Dubs.
Yeah, and they retain it the next year as well, Meath. Is there a significant difference in that period for Meath, the back-to-back in 2021 and 22, to now? Like, is there actually a massive gap or can that be shortened again?
I think I know that they talk a little bit about turnover in the squad, but I think they're fairly a similar team and they still kind of play the same sort of football. I don't think they're much different, but I think the expectation on Meath is different now. Now they're expected to win. The county expect them to be getting to All-Ireland finals, and I'm sure they expect that of themselves as well. So I think they're in a different mindset coming into this game. You know, it's in 2021 and probably 22 to a certain extent, that you know, they've nothing to lose. Whereas now they've an All-Ireland final to lose. They're expected by a lot of people to get over the line and win. So I think they'll be approaching this final differently than in the 21 final.
How different are Dublin to last year? Where have they improved particularly?
I don't think they're too different. I think, look, they got caught by a hungrier Galway side last year. And I think that kind of stood to them this year that they weren't going to let it happen again.
It really nearly did again this year. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they weren't as shocked. I think they were more prepared when it went to extra time. I think, you know, we've been here before, we're not going to let it happen again. And I think there was a noticeable difference between the two sides going into that extra time period, that the Galway players went straight into their management, but the Dublin players stayed as a group and it was all players and the management actually didn't go near them. Now, I don't think that was planned. I think the management might have just seen players take control of it and leave them to it. So I think that kind of, that maybe the hurt, I suppose, from last year kind of got them over the line in that Galway game. And it was very much player led. And I'm not saying that like Dublin is always a very player led camp, but I think just on that day against that opposition, I think they weren't going to sit down.
The morning after that game as well, Carla Rowe was ahead of Marcus Rashford and Coldplay on X as the most trending person in the country after the back heel goal. And she's been talking about it this week here, as it wasn't a training ground move, it wasn't a percentage play. My smile off the back of it was kind of like, holy God, did I just do that? Orla Nolan came over and was pushing me and kind of saying, what were you at? Were you in touch with her about this?
Yeah, I text her straight away. I just text her, techers. like the match is still going. But my phone started to hop as well. And I was kind of thinking, well, I didn't kick it. You know, why is everybody texting me? And even like lads at football training, they were all talking about it as well, which was nice. But it's kind of a goal you'd expect from Orla Nolan, not from Carla Rowe. But look, I'm glad it went in, because if that went wide, it would have been most embarrassing moment. So, you know, hero to zero, it could have been.
Exactly, because look, it's a flamboyant type of goal. It's a soccer-style one that is usually reserved when you're 3 or 4 nil up. But like the game, semi-final of the Ireland's on the line here, and she's fascinating talking about it in the aftermath, saying she knew what was on the line, but she wasn't thinking about it at the time. But she thought to herself, God almighty, had I not connected with the ball then, that could have been the killer moment for the game. Like, it was so tantalising from success to failure.
Yeah, and she didn't make a clean connection with it either. I kind of dribbled in a little bit as well. I think that's a little bit of playing on off instinct, you know, trust in yourself and think about it later. But look, Carla's a very skillful player. She, you know, she'll do the, you know, the tricks with the ball or whatever. But as soon as the match starts or training starts, it's very, very simple. And this flash stuff doesn't come out. In fact, none of the Dublin players try to do any of those kind of flash things. But look, I'm glad she had it in her.
Necessary and improvised skill, yeah, the best kind. Kamir, you're quite interested in how the tackle will be refereed for the final.
Yeah, I thought it was, look, it was a massive talking point in the Meade-Kerry game, in that Meade, I think, had nearly three times as many fouls committed as Kerry did. And at the start of the game, I thought it was tactical that they just wanted to slow Kerry's momentum in midfield. So they do a little, you know, a pull of the jersey or a little slap, just something innocuous around midfield, draw a foul and just kill Kerry's attack. But they continued it through the game, and commentators kept mentioning it. The stats were coming up on the screen as well about how many fouls Meade were committing. And I know in the Dublin and Galway matched that foul count in their game just after. But it was a different game. Dublin and Galway were going hell for leather, bodies on the line. It was just a very physical game. Whereas Kerry weren't giving it back to Meade. So I think you've Dublin and Meade going in here to the final, and both committed over 30 fouls each. So it'd just be very interesting how that's going to be managed by the referee. I thought it was very unusual that no one got a sin bit for continuous tackling. Usually three ticks and you're off. It's 10 minutes on the sideline in ladies football. So the referees, there was no yellow card shown for repeated fouling. I think that might have been a kind of little bit of a directive from the LGFA, just because we've been talking about it so much, about the yellow card rule and the charging rule and all this sort of thing. I think they just didn't want it. I think they just wanted the games to flow and no controversy. But I think it'll be very interesting now here in the final how that's dealt with. Like, I know some of the Meade players kind of you're looking for the foul, you know, getting an easy free, like as nearly as you should be if you're in the scoring zone, looking for an easy free, go down injured sort of thing. But I think, I think the ref just needs to get a hold on it straight away and let the players adapt to how the game's going to be reffed, rather than the ref kind of reacting to what's going to happen. I think it just needs to be controlled from the start.
So are you in favour of the directive saying fewer yellow cards?
I am, but only because I think the tackle rule needs to be changed. I think it just needs to be a bit more flexible. Like, the rule is you're not allowed, it's a non-contact sport, essentially. You're not allowed tackle the player unless the ball is being played or it's being held out from the body. Otherwise, you're not allowed to touch them. Like basketball, you're not allowed to touch the player. But sure, we all know from watching the games that that's not the case. That's not how it's played. So I think, you know, people are talking about changing the rules and do we need to bring in what the lads have in their game this year. I think the first thing you need to change is the tackle. So I'm in favour of being more lenient on showing yellow cards until that tackle rule is changed and open up just for a little bit more physicality. Because, you know, you're playing it, trying to play it at a high speed. You know, it's an All-Ireland final. You know, a bit of physical contact or a little pull of the arm is often not intentional. It's there's no malice behind it.
But like, we've seen large scorelines this season, big disparity between teams. And that, look, this isn't the reason, the fact of the way you can tackle and the limitations there, but it must be here soul destroying when you lose possession against the superior side, considering how difficult it is to win the ball back in the current tackle rules.
Yeah, well, I think the way the game is kind of played now, so defensively, that frustration of turning over the ball, it doesn't have the same impact on the scoreline as it had in previous years. If you go back 5 or 6 years, or even if you're looking at the lads' game now, a turnover can be fatal. But, you know, Meath are quite a defensive team. Like, every team is quite defensive. Every half forward line is going to drop back. So, you know, it just depends on each play. You know, if you're exposed, it can be punished. That's how, like I said, Meath kind of got on top of their oppositions through the championship. But I think if you lose possession in your defensive line, that's where it's punished in ladies football. You know, and even on kickouts, if you're losing possession on your kickouts, more often than not, it results in a score. So, yes, to an extent, if you're giving away possession in your own half, but generally, if you lose possession in the opposition's half, ladies football, you have enough cover there. That's not going to be as detrimental.
Has the standard and attendance has been a disappointment this year?
The attendance is definitely, and I would have said they were a disappointment last year as well, possibly the year before. The standard thing, initially, I disagreed with that statement up until about 3 weeks ago when I had a few conversations with people. And now I do agree that the standard of ladies football has, you know, petered off a little bit. I don't think attendances are falling as a result of that, though. But I do think that the game isn't as exciting as it was going back 5 years ago. And I don't know why that is. I don't think it's rules or anything. I just think, I don't know, possibly it's just the standard of player there at the moment. Everybody was tipping Kerry to be in the final because of their, you know, open attacking football and how they have so many players that kick the ball. I think Dublin, to an extent, are similar to that, or try to be similar to that. But we've got two teams in an All-Ireland final now that weren't expected to be there just based on the quality of players in the panels. But maybe that just goes to show you need a strong team and, you know, hard workers, and you just need to win each game you're faced with, get over the line. It doesn't matter who's there. But I think, the standard of football at the moment has petered off a little bit.
There's loads in that. Like, we could have a separate conversation about, like you say, you're not quite sure why in the last 5 years, other than maybe the quality of player, but why the standard has actually fallen. Like, if you look at the attendances as well, like you say, you know, maybe it's a good thing that's Dublin and Meath in the final, because 2022, 46,500 at Croke Park, 46,000 in 2023 for the decider between Dublin and Kerry. Last year went down to 30,000 between Kerry and Galway. So it might rise this weekend as well. But I don't know if the other issue with it is the promotion of the game by the LGFA, and are they getting people excited enough about these encounters?
Definitely not. But I don't know what else they could do. Something that I mentioned it before and it went out of my head. I was like, sure, why aren't we getting influencers to games? Pay them a few quid and get them down to games. Do a bit of content creation. People are going to see it and think, oh, maybe I might go to the next match. And it's kind of out there. Like, that's what everybody's doing to market themselves now. So why haven't we hopped on that bandwagon? Look, we've three games as well. Like, you take into those attendances, there's three finals being played on the day as well. We've got Loud and Laois in the final too, so maybe you might get a few more travelling up. But generally, like, through the league and championship, most of the people that are at a game are your family, a couple of friends. The minority are just genuine supporters coming along to watch the match. You might get a team there, a couple of teams that travel down together, or a few parents throw the team into the back of the car and it's a day out, maybe team bonding. But generally, it's family and friends. Like, if you're around the panel a long time, you can pick out who in the crowd belongs to what player. I'm not expecting many people to be... I'm not expecting us to hit any record. I wouldn't be surprised if it stays in the 30,000s for the match tomorrow. I don't know, has the split season kind of impacted that as well a little bit? You know, if it's still in September, maybe you have a bit more promotion in schools and stuff that people are going to see it. And you know, football clubs, everybody's back training in September, whereas you're missing half your panel. I'm talking underage now.
Yeah.
Half your panel through the summer between family holidays and whatever. So maybe that's something to look at as well, bringing it back to September.
If there is a decline, do you arrest it by small measures? So like, you know, the improvement of the tackle, working on individual skills for players, the improved use of social media, like off the row goal, like the top five pieces of skills in a given week, you know, just top of the head examples. But is it just, is it small incremental improvements will eventually improve the general interest in the game? Is that how you tackle this?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't think there's any quick fix. Like, if you go back to when ladies football kind of was booming,
yeah,
it was nearly off the back of the Dublin men's team and the circus around them. And then we won a couple of All-Ireland finals. So we kind of hopped on the bandwagon and kind of fed off that a little bit. And that brought a bit of a boom into ladies football, and the games were entertaining and whatever. But before that, you had the Cork 10 in a row or 10 in 11 years. And there was no, like, that should have been the greatest, you know, GAA team of all time, winning that many All-Irelands and dominating. But it probably still wasn't getting the traction as we got off the back of the Dublin men's. So I think that was nearly an accidental boom in ladies football. I don't think obviously it's intention to grow the game, but I don't think they expected it to grow thought it would grow as much as it did then. But I don't think there is any one quick fix for any women's sport. If you talk about promoting the game, you know, like, are the Irish soccer team, you know, are they going to experience the same kind of just wave of popularity and then it wanes a little bit, like ladies football have? I don't know, we probably have to wait 2 or 3 years to see. But I think it's a ladies football problem, but I think it might be just a general problem. And like the attendances in men's football games weren't huge. Like, still talking about Dublin, they were selling out Croker for league games, for all their championship games. Now Croker's not being sold out when they're playing in there. So I think it's not just a ladies football alone. I don't think it's their problem. I don't think anything they do is going to be a quick fix either.
All right, Ciara, enjoy the game. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Ciara Trant previewing the All-Ireland football final this weekend.
Yeah, it's a triple header of All-Ireland finals on Sunday at Croke Park. 11:45, the junior final between Antrim and Louth. Leash Tyrone, as Ciara mentioned there, in the intermediary at 1:45, and then 4:15, Meath Dublin.
Off the ball breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Football on Off the Ball.
Top, yeah, just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. Top, yeah, we're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give the teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.